Check out the latest footwear innovation from Adidas, the Adizero Adios Pro 2, which features carbon fiber energy rods that are both lightweight and precisely tuned for a more anatomical transition. Everything from the ultra-light polyester upper to the re-sculpted midsole and the reinvented outsoles are designed for speed. Visit adidas.com to learn more today.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gents, random dogs that are sitting next to a laptop. It is Saturday morning. The Pittsburgh Steelers finished their preseason, maybe on a bad note, but there's plenty to talk about, plenty to good, plenty of the bad. Donnie, welcome to All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at All Steelers. And of course, follow your favorite podcast host at Noah Strack, at Donnie Droon. Donnie, how you doing?
Noah, I've never been more excited to come on All Steelers Talk, especially after Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins was going to play. It only supposed to play one half of football. Turns out he played a little bit more than that. And man, do we got to talk about Dwayne Haskins.
We have to talk about Dwayne Haskins. And that's exactly where we are going to start, where we have to start. Dwayne Haskins, a very less than subpar performance on Friday night. He played a little over about two quarters and 7 minutes, completed 9 of 16 passes for 108 yards and a touchdown with an interception. He finished the night with a 71.9 QBR. But here's the thing. Before he came back in for Josh Dobbs, for an injured Josh Dobbs, he finished the night with a 2.8 QBR. A rough outing for starting quarterback Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, let's not forget the fumble too. I'm ready to air some stuff out because all week we heard about Dwayne Haskins being able to take advantage of the opportunity ahead of him, and that man simply did not. After the game, head coach Mike Tomlin had not great things to say about Dwayne Haskins' performance, said that it was less than ideal for him, less than ideal for Dwayne Haskins himself. And it should be, because for a guy that probably could have made the number two job in Pittsburgh a lot more interesting with a really strong performance last night, kind of pooped the bed, my man. And you know what? If Mason Rudolph had played like that, Twitter would have been on fire. But for whatever reason, Steelers Twitter was awfully quiet last night. Whenever Dwayne Haskins was fumbling balls, missing receivers, throwing interceptions, Steelers Twitter was awfully quiet last night. And I think the infatuation that Steelers fans have with backup quarterbacks is crazy. Like, for whatever reason, they latch onto a backup quarterback and they defend them until the very end. We saw it with Devlin Hodges. There's people that do it with Mason Rudolph. There's people that do it with Dwayne Haskins. Both Rudolph and Haskins are not good quarterbacks. I don't know why people get so personal over people like me and you and everybody else dissecting these performances from these guys. These guys are not good. There is a reason they are backup quarterbacks. And I think on Saturday night, even Josh Dobbs, we saw that we should probably enjoy Ben Roethlisberger while we still have him.
Oh, gosh, yeah. There was, if anything, like, okay, so Mason Rudolph, we know, has peaked. He's hit his ceiling. There's no going higher than he is already. And that's fine. You know, Landry Jones was a career backup quarterback, and he did just fine. And I think Mason Rudolph has that potential to just sit there as a number two for the rest of his career and honestly be a quality number two. You don't really need much. You just need a guy that could come in, play two or three quarters at a time when need be, and that's about it. Dwayne Haskins, on the other hand, is a guy that if you were going to keep Dwayne Haskins around, you were keeping Dwayne Haskins around because he is the next starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And last night, all we saw was that Dwayne Haskins did not handle the pressure of a starting quarterback well at all. There was zero moments in that game last night. And there were times where he escaped the pocket or he extended the pocket and he found guys like Chase Claypool. And you were like, okay, here we go. Let's get a rhythm going. And then on the next play, he'd fumble a snap.
Yep.
It just seemed like the stage was too big for him. And for a guy who was a starting quarterback, who was a former first-round pick, who has all these expectations and continued to talk all summer and had everyone else talk for him all summer about how he should be the number two. Last night, what we saw is that Dwayne Haskins is not a number two quarterback in this NFL right now. He's certainly not the number two in Pittsburgh. And honestly, I think that if Josh Dobbs didn't get injured and that he had an opportunity to play that second half, we'd be sitting here talking right now about whether or not Josh Dobbs should make the roster over Dwayne Haskins. And I still think that that is a possibility. I'm not going to knock that off yet.
Well, let me start with some things that I do like about Dwayne Haskins, because there are definitely some qualities about Haskins that there is to like. Obviously, his mobility is the thing that stands out about him most. His ability to move defenses with his legs and extend the play is better than guys like Rudolph, better than guys like Dobbs. Definitely that aspect. I think his arm strength is phenomenal. I think he throws the ball and he gets the ball out very, very quickly, which sometimes can come back to bite him. But you know what? There were a few plays last night where he fired balls in the holes, and you know, guys like Ray McCloud just weren't able to come away with it. And that's kind of it is what it is. But people saying that Dwayne Haskins was playing against a first-string defense and kind of using that as a crutch for Dwayne Haskins. Who do you think Dwayne Haskins is going to play in the regular season?
Starting quarterbacks play starting defenses. That's just what they do.
And look, bro, Dwayne Haskins going 5 for 5 for like 72 yards and a touchdown in the fourth quarter against third-stringers. Yeah, Dwayne, bro, I'm happy for you. You've moved the ball all preseason against guys who are – no, you're going to see their names on waivers in the next upcoming week. But look, man, people love to use the whole touchdown argument. Like, Dwayne Haskins led 2 touchdown drives, well, now 3 in the preseason. Like, Mason Rudolph hasn't. Mason Rudolph is still a better quarterback than Dwayne Haskins as we sit right now.
No, 100%. 100%. And I think that last night just kind of showed that all the arguments for Mason Rudolph, and I myself am somebody who constantly said Mason Rudolph is not scoring touchdowns. That's a problem. Last night showed me that maybe it's a lot harder to score touchdowns against a first team than it is a third team, and I didn't take that into consideration until I watched Dwayne Haskins not be able to do it. And I was like, Mason Rudolph looked a lot better than Dwayne Haskins did right now. I don't know. And again, I think that the argument has gone so drastically downhill that Dwayne Haskins is a guy that if there was a quarterback competition for that third spot without the injury, I don't think he makes this team. I think that the Steelers like Josh Dobbs. I think Josh Dobbs has more confidence than most people on the Pittsburgh Steelers roster. And he's a guy that could emulate literally any quarterback in the NFL. If you need a guy to play a practice squad guy, Josh Dobbs is your man. So I still think that's a possibility, depending on how bad the turf toe is. If Josh Dobbs is able to return in the next 2 weeks, I don't see why the Pittsburgh Steelers keep Dwayne Haskins and get rid of Josh Dobbs, because Dwayne Haskins does not carry the potential that we hoped he did. Mason Rudolph is the number two. Really what you're looking for is that guy to come in here and be any quarterback that you need him to be. And Josh Dobbs looks like Lamar Jackson way better than Dwayne Haskins does.
It's so tough because, like, none of Pittsburgh's 3 options at backup quarterback are going to be substantial enough for them to feel confident to run their normal offense. And, you know, no. Steelers Freak, big shout out to you. Happy
big
Saturday.
Big shout out, Steelers Freak. My
Steelers
man.
Freak, I hope you enjoyed the game last night, man.
I hope, yeah. I mean, what you could enjoy. We'll get to stuff like that. Don't worry.
Yeah, definitely. But, like, the – if Dwayne Haskins or Mason Rudolph find themselves in a game, Steelers fans, it's not going to be great, man. It is what it is.
And let me ask this question. If the Steelers find themselves in a situation in the regular season where all they need you to do is time management, who do you want in the game, Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins? Because my answer is Mason Rudolph.
I think through the preseason, Mason Rudolph showed he was a little bit better of a game manager, than Dwayne Haskins. I also feel like Mason Rudolph pushes the ball downfield a little bit more than Dwayne Haskins, but that was that could be entirely up to play calling and, you know, what Matt Canada and Tomlin wanted to see out of Mason Rudolph. And I think that's what we forget about the preseason is that, yeah, like, of course these teams want to win. They, you know, they want to put their players in positions to be successful, but you're really just trying to get certain looks for certain guys. So whenever Mason Rudolph is in the game, I think the offense is going to be called just a little bit more differently as opposed to if, like, Josh Dobbs and Dwayne Haskins were going to be in the game. And kind of to your point earlier, we already know what Mason Rudolph is, right? Like, there's no, like, hey, like, let's keep digging and see what there is, because we already know what Mason Rudolph is, and, you know, it's not all that spectacular. And I feel like we're trying to dig on Dwayne Haskins, and, like, we're not hitting anything. Like, we're looking for gold when gold is not there, you feel?
Exactly. Dwayne Haskins is a guy that came in here, and I think that's why this could be the end of his road. Do I think that the Steelers caught him? No. But I think that Josh Dobbs sticks around. I think that they have an opportunity to waive/injure him and put him on the practice squad and make those decisions later in the season. But Dwayne Haskins came in here. And he came in here as a guy that carried a boatload of potential. Everybody was like, man, I love what Dwayne Haskins can do on a football field and the physical attributes that he brings to the quarterback position. And then you saw him in game and you realized Dwayne Haskins is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. Does that change over time? Maybe. I mean, this is only his third year in the NFL. But if we're going to keep him on the same level that we kept Mason Rudolph the last 3 years, year three is when that opportunity presents itself. And Mason Rudolph did not take care of that opportunity. Dwayne Haskins did not take care of that opportunity. And you could say, you know, he worked with backups. Chase Claypool was in the game, and his only good throw was to Chase Claypool. That's enough. And plus, even in the fourth quarter, you got guys like Cody White and Anthony Johnson and Ray McLeod on the field. That those are the guys that are probably going to work with you throughout practice for the rest of the season. You should feel most comfortable with those guys. I don't know. It was a bad performance for Dwayne Haskins. It was, you know, a bad night for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But let's not focus on all the bad. It's still only the preseason. This doesn't count for almost anything outside of figuring out which guys are going to and not to make your team. When you look back at last night, who stood out to you that you said, well, in a sea of bad, this was pretty good?
I feel like we all owe a tip of the cap to Jameer Jones. And I feel like whenever you tweeted last night that Jameer Jones probably locked up a 53-man roster spot, I don't think anybody could disagree with you. I mean, the dude week after week has continually shown just this hunger and, like, determination to find the football, wherever it is on the field. And that was on his way last night. He found himself, you know, in multiple positions to get sacks. He actually recorded the sack himself. And on such, like, a talented defense too, man, like, Jameer Jones balling out is nothing but good thing. So I'm really happy for him. Chris Wormley, I felt like rushing the passer last night, did very, very well in those opportunities, especially since I've been super critical of him because I don't think he has what it takes to play on the interior for the Steelers defense. So for him to shut people up like me last night, that was pretty cool to see. And James Pierre, man, like his tackling ability, dude, is so refreshing after watching guys like Artie Burns play quarterback for the Steelers for such a long time. And I know there's still a lot of football left to be played for James Pierre before we can actually evaluate him like we should be able to. But still, it's just like the early signs we saw in preseason, heading into the preseason, you know, you and I had a lot of questions about James Pierre because we didn't have a lot of film on him last year. But there's a lot of hype around him. You know, sometimes the hype isn't truly real. I think the hype for James Pierre is well-deserved.
Yeah, I agree. I think James Pierre is a guy that, you know, it's going to be a learning curve at first. Once he gets in there and he's playing with the first team every rep, there's going to be times where he makes a mistake or he lets a deep ball go or something like that. That's okay because this guy is a second-year undrafted guy who played minimum snaps last season, just at the end of last season. So you can't really expect him to come in here and be the next Joe Hayden, not right away. Where he's at right now is a good starting ground for James Pierre this season. Chris Wormley was a guy that last season, I'm with you, I think that we were very critical of Chris Wormley, and he didn't give us anything to not be critical over. He played pretty poorly, kind of looked lost all season. He didn't look big enough to play on the interior. This season, I think that he's comfortable in this defense. I think he finally understands where he's supposed to be and what his role is, and he's not really playing hero ball or just get lost in the mix. I think that Chris Wormley, right now I don't really expect Stephon Tuitt to be a guy that plays week one, so I think Chris Wormley is going to have to step up. I think he's going to step up fine moving forward, and I think he's a quality depth piece throughout the entire season behind Tuitt and Cam Hayward. Jameer Jones, freak. The dude has recorded 3.5 sacks in 4 preseason games. Lock this man up. And it's got to be over Quincy Roche, because my standout guy is Cassius Marsh. I think Cassius Marsh has played pretty well this offseason. I think that there's never been a moment where you're going, Cassius Marsh isn't making a play or he's making a mistake, and he's always playing against the first team. So you have to keep him, right? You have to look at him and go, this is a guy, he has veteran experience. He provides quality depth. He's a good special teamer. You know, he's kind of crazy, which is cool. So you have to keep him on the roster. You want to keep Jameer Jones around, because that dude is a second-year guy who's going to make play after play. And you could call him Tuzar Skipper or Ola Adenini, whoever you want to call him, the next of. But I think that he's better than that. I think he brings a lot more potential. And unfortunately, I think Quincy Roche is the one who suffers because of that, because there's not really room to keep 6 edge rushers, and I don't think Roche has played very well. My last guy that I think stood out is Isaiah Loudermilk. The dude is called Little Cam Hayward time and time again, and I've never seen it. I'm just like, this dude's kind of tiny. Like, he's ginormous, but he doesn't play very big. He's not really great at stuffing the run. Last night, I thought he played well. Last week, I thought he played well. And I think that for the time being, he's a guy that could be a deep depth piece behind a very talented, deep defensive line. Steelers Freaks got a lot going on here. Let's check it out.
Dude.
9 teams. Okay, so first off, we agree. Pierre was the highlight of last night, 100%. Robert Spillane. Robert Spillane is a guy I thought played well last night. I think that Robert Spillane is a guy that we understand his limitations. Look at Robert Spillane is a dude who's going to come in and stuff the run play after play after play. He's going to take anybody on. You could play him maybe 10 to 15 snaps per game. Can't be on third down. Can't be on second and long. It's got to strictly be third and one. Go out there, run up the middle, hit somebody. But that's a guy that you want around. I mean, that's an old school football player. He doesn't fit in today's mold. I understand that. But I think Robert Spillane, for what he is still a guy that has some value on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm not saying he doesn't have value, because he, and this is throughout the entire preseason, not just last night, Robert Spillane fills gaps like no other. Like, if you need a running back stuffed the line of scrimmage, that's awesome. If you need a running back stuffed at the line of scrimmage, Robert Spillane is your guy. But in the modern NFL, you can't have Robert Spillane out on the field for extensive snaps, because we saw what happens. He got picked on the entire game, man. It showed. And I feel so bad, because like I feel like Spillane played well last year, man. I really did. I feel like if the Steelers would have rolled into the season with Robert Spillane as their starter, based off of what we saw last year, I would have been fine with it. But yeah, you know, but what?
This year, like, he's bad.
Yeah. This year, his obvious lack of coverage abilities has came back to bite him in the you know what. And, you know, that's why the Steelers got Joe Sherbert on the low.
Oh, I agree. I don't think, like I said, 10 snaps maximum per game, maybe 5. But I just think that for what he is, he's a special teams guy who plays quality special teams rep, and I appreciate that. At the same time, he's a guy who you could shove in there on a third and short situation, a goal line situation, and just say, go find the running back. And that's a valuable piece to a puzzle, a very deep piece. You know, he's not a guy that's going to play quality minutes. I don't even want him to be the second inside linebacker in a game behind Devin Bush or Joe Sherbert. But for what he is and what his role is, I mean, you have to understand that Robert Spillane before last season was a practice squad guy out of Western Michigan who was never going to have an opportunity in Pittsburgh, and 9 million injuries led to him getting on the field. And if he didn't pick off Lamar Jackson and absolutely stuff Derrick Henry on the goal line, we would never be talking about him again. So for what his come up is and what his role should be compared to what it is, I think Robert Spillane's fine, and I don't think he's happy with where he is, but I think that's what his limitations are, and I think the Steelers can use that to their advantage. They need to find that other piece. I don't think that's Buddy Johnson yet. I definitely do not think that's Ulysses Gilbert III, and Marcus Allen left with a hamstring injury, so I don't know what their option is. I could go on another Calvin Bundage rant if everybody wants me to, but you know, we all know what happened there. I just think that, you know, there is definitely some worry still at inside linebacker, but I think Robert Spillane, you know, he could be that fourth guy, and I think that that's a valuable piece in Pittsburgh.
Look, man, at the end of the day, Spillane is what he is. He's not anything spectacular. Whenever it comes to run support, obviously, I feel like he's one of the stronger linebackers in Pittsburgh when it comes to that. But like I said a bit earlier, whenever it comes to the modern era of linebackers having to cover running backs over and over and over again, even tight ends, Spillane continually got picked on. It was almost like shocking to see how much the Panthers actually targeted Robert Spillane last night.
The touchdown pass to Robbie Anderson, I stared at the television and was just like, he didn't even try. He was totally content with that being a touchdown pass. As soon as it happened, he was just like, nah, all righty, let's turn around and jog to the sideline. It was bad. And that, again, that's just who he is. I think he understands that. It's definitely a little heartbreaking for him to know that his role has shrunk so dramatically. But I don't know. It's going to be a rough year for him. But the Steelers will be fine because they won't utilize him outside of special teams. And the Steelers' special teams this preseason have been phenomenal. Phenomenal. All righty, before we jump to the most important competition of the night, who are your guys that you watched last night, you watched throughout this preseason, that you look at now and say, maybe they have an opportunity to make this 53, outside of the guys that we've named? Jahmyr Jones, obviously, is a big one. That you look at now and say, maybe they could make this 53-man roster after four preseason games.
I know you just went against my pick is for this. I'm a Quincy Roche guy. I really am. I know there's a crowded room when it comes to the Steelers pass rushers, but like just over the entire course of the preseason, I feel like Quincy Roche has displayed enough for you to, one, kind of solidify the draft pick you spent on him, and two, continue to further develop him. And I mean, the athletic profile on him is crazy. He obviously knows how to get the quarterback. All he's got to do is kind of fine tweak some things, add a little bit of muscle to his frame, which should happen over the course of time. And I feel like the Steelers are going to have another solid pass rusher if they really commit their time and resources to him.
I like the pick. I think that the Steelers do want to commit their time to Quincy Roche. I just don't know if he's developed enough to make the active roster. At the same time, first off, I thought you were going Ulysses Gilbert III with this.
Oh, no.
I was like, come on.
I'm not saying
Roche is a much more respectable response. I think that the problem and the only worry that I would say maybe lands him on the 53 is if they do waive him before they place him on the practice squad, another team could easily come in and scoop a guy like Quincy Roche up. And I could see that happening. My guy is somewhat similar. I have two of them. Isaiah Loudermilk is a guy that, you know, we talked about, and I just don't think that he had a place on this 53-man roster, but just like Roche, I think that he showed enough where those two are rookies that you say these two can be something special or at least contribute significantly in the next 2 or 3 years. And I think every team in the NFL kind of sees that, and they could look at it and go, meh, if they release them, those are guys we're going to snag up in that 24-hour waiver. My other guy – oh, go ahead.
No, I did have the other guy. Yeah, I thought you were done.
My other guy is Mark Gilbert, who I think has taken full I don't even know what the word is. He's taken full advantage of his opportunity since the release of Antoine Brooks Jr. The Steelers obviously need another guy. Justin Lane has looked good at times, absolutely atrocious at other times. So where Mark Gilbert kind of fits in this, I don't know. But I think he's right now a sneaky pick to land that 53-man spot.
Yeah, a sneaky pick indeed, especially whenever you consider how bad the overall secondary played last night. I mean, yeah. Trey Norwood had a phenomenal opportunity to grab an interception of a ball that was thrown. I think it was Robbie Anderson that was thrown behind. Just hits him right off the chest. Justin Lane.
Trey Norwood.
Yeah, I said Trey Norwood.
Oh,
didn't
okay, sorry.
Justin Lane, terrible. Like, he shouldn't even be on the field, and that's so concerning that the Steelers still believe there's something there in that third-round pick. But I feel like Mark Gilbert, if you're going to roll the dice on any of the Steelers, like, secondary players in general, and you're going to keep them on the 53-man roster, I feel like Gilbert's displayed probably the most, like, consistent performance week after week in the preseason. Thank God the Steelers had four preseason games this year, man, because, like, if we were only able to get three out of these guys – I feel like there would be just a little bit more, like, unknown that we'd have to talk about and discuss. So,
oh, yeah. I think, honestly, like, a guy like Dwayne Haskins would still be looked at as, like, the future quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we would have – imagine how long we'd have to talk about whether or not Dwayne Haskins is the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Forever. Forever. A whole season we would have to go talking about it when maybe he wouldn't even make the team.
Really quick, Noah, correct me if I'm wrong. The Steelers would not get a compensation pick if Roche is claimed off of waivers. That's only correct. For free agency, right?
Yep, correct. If it was next season, I believe they get a compensation pick. But this season, it's just like a void of their contract. So really, their contract doesn't really start until week one of the regular season. If they are released and placed on the practice squad, it's like a void of contract. Nothing ever happens.
Hey, really quick, though, before we get through the most important position battle in Pittsburgh, are there any players you think lost out on the 53-man roster spot last night? There's the obvious one.
Maybe Kalen Ballage. Maybe Kalen Ballage.
That's a spicy pick.
I thought Ballage was a lot. I'll give you two, but I think the other one you have in mind. Ballage was a guy I was very surprised to see on the field at all. I thought he was locked and loaded for the 53-man roster ahead of Snell and Jalen Samuels. Snell had a pretty bad night. Samuels did nothing, but he's done nothing all preseason. So I don't know if Ballage still lands that 53-man roster spot, but I don't think last night helped his case at all. I also don't think it helped Snell's or Samuels. So when they look at an overall body of work, I think Ballage should still be the guy that gets in.
Interesting. Kalen Ballage playing in the fourth quarter of that game kind of raised some eyebrows a little bit because it's like, hey, I thought we're all on the same page here. Kalen Ballage,
we're like, good, bro. Ballage, man, this is the guy. I guess not.
Maybe they just wanted to get him snaps. I'm not super sure. The guy everybody's been talking about in Pittsburgh, though, Matthew Sexton, gone. Gone. Dude, thank you so much for the memories. For what we thought you could have been, returning the ball for punts and kicks. Two muffed punts last night. I've never seen a proverbial nail in the coffin laid more, like, better in front of my eyes than what I saw last night.
Yeah, bad, bad. Matthew Sexton had an opportunity, and I think that's what happened. I think that he knew that he had to have a big game, saw the bounced punt, and said, I got to make something happen here, otherwise I'm not going to make the team. And unfortunately, he shot himself in the foot. That's a Cheddar Bob reference. It is what it is. I still think he lands on the practice squad, but for a guy who had a clear opportunity to make this team and to beat out Ray McLeod, who was not having a good game up until that point, nope. And then the second one, I think he was just in his head. It's Ray McLeod's job again. Feel how you feel about that. I think that a lot of people have this, bigger idea of who Ray McLeod is than he actually is. Last season, people are like, oh, he's a gadget guy who consistently makes big plays or had a couple of big plays. He didn't. I get that he averaged, I want to say he ranked third in the NFL in return yards last season, which is impressive, I guess. But, like, is it? Not really. And outside of that, he had one 40-yard run that people just want to continuously bring up. I just think Ray is a guy that doesn't have much going on. He's got a cool name, and, he looks cool, and, he's a quick return guy. But besides that, I do not see where the spark comes with him. Matthew Sexton, I would have loved to see him make the team, but it is what it is. Before we get out of here, we have the biggest the biggest competition battle in Pittsburgh has come down to the wire, to the wire. And let me tell you, Jordan Berry did not go out easy at all. Jordan Berry, Presley Harvin III, the punting competition, which coming into the season, everybody was like, it's a punter, blah, blah, blah. That's awesome. We got a new one. No, no. It has been the most exciting specialist battle of all time, at least in Pittsburgh, probably of all time ever. Came down to fourth quarter punts between Jordan Berry and a holding job that maybe was a little less than subpar by Presley Harvin on that missed PAT by Chris Boswell that could hurt him. What have you seen from the punters? Who's your prediction to make the team?
Yeah, and punters being the holder for Chris Boswell, obviously it's got to be part of the job requirement moving forward,
Tales
right?
So, all this time.
Presley Harvin not doing his best job there definitely does hurt him. But whenever it comes to actually punting the ball, I'm torn. I am torn. I really think it's a coin flip for the Steelers at this point in time, because Jordan Berry did not go gentle into that good night. And I don't know if it's just since he was brought back for the second time last year, he's been punting his balls off. But he has looked like a completely different punter than a lot of Steelers fans are used to seeing. But on the same token, Presley Harvin, you know, that seventh round draft pick, he's looked pretty damn good too. And I think either of them, should they play like we've seen them play in the preseason, either of them would be fine. If I had to take a guess, probably Presley Harvin, just based off of the different things we've seen out of him. And I know Jordan Berry had like a 52-yard punt or a 55-yard punt, something like that last night. Mm-hmm. But like just looking over the scope of the preseason, Harvin for me moves the needle a little bit more. You know, his ball placement inside the 20-yard line is phenomenal. And obviously he has like a cannon of a leg and a cannon of an arm too. Don't forget that.
True.
But overall, I mean, it is what it is. It's a punter, and punters don't sound important until you have Jordan Berry kicking the ball 30 yards down the field, and all of a sudden exactly. The offense has a good field position. So,
exactly. The Steelers have tried for so long to get rid of Jordan Berry, and finally, with his back up against the wall for the first time really ever, he came in, put on a good performance all preseason. And I think that Jordan Berry is a guy that maybe they keep around on the practice squad just to say, hey, we have 16 players that we're allowed to keep this season. COVID's a real thing still. Maybe we keep Jordan Berry around just in case Presley Harvin doesn't work out. You know what I'm saying? Not that Jordan Berry is going to go get poached somewhere, but maybe he is going to go get poached somewhere. And you want that consistency, because last year when they went out and got Dustin Colquitt, we quickly saw that familiarity is better than probably anything when it comes to the punters in Pittsburgh. There is definitely some worry with Presley Harvin's holding ability. And I think that week one will be that determinant of how long he actually lasts on the Steelers roster, because Pittsburgh will have no problem at all saying, never mind, we picked the wrong punter if Presley Harvin is out there and Chris Boswell can't make a kick. I think Chris Boswell likes Presley Harvin more than people expect him to, because I think that he is a young guy who is learning. And yeah, Jordan Berry and him have chemistry. I get that. But the Steelers might go on with a different long snapper because Cam Kanaday didn't play last night. And Mike Tomlin said heading into the game that there was a competition at long snapper. So if Christian Kuntz and Presley Harvin are in here changing things up, Chris Boswell just has to adapt. That's on him. Again, I mean, I don't know. This could come down to either one. But like you said, Presley Harvin is younger. He moves the needle a little bit. He adds a little bit more upside. And at the end of the day, you just can't pass that up. You don't use a seventh-round pick on a punter and say, never mind. When he's playing good enough to probably be on an NFL roster somewhere, that's just, you know, that's just the business side of football. At the same time, Danny Smith is a lunatic, and we all love him. And I think that more than anything in this whole world, Danny Smith wants to throw a punter pass in week one in Buffalo, because he's Danny Smith, and he's been waiting since the seventh round pick in May to make that happen. So, you know, it was a great summer. It was a great competition. But Presley Harvin, I believe we could both agree on, is the guy that's going to end up walking away number six, the Hamburglar, referred to as Cam Hayward. It was a great time. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. We're your favorite podcast hosts, Noah Strackbine and Donnie Droon. Make sure to check us out on YouTube at All Steelers Talk and check us out on Twitter and Facebook at All Steelers. You can find all of mine and Donnie's work at allsteelers.com, and we will see you next week.
Check out the latest footwear innovation from Adidas, the Adizero Adios Pro 2, which features carbon fiber energy rods that are both lightweight and precisely tuned for a more anatomical transition. Everything from the ultra-light polyester upper to the re-sculpted midsole and the reinvented outsoles are designed for speed. Visit adidas.com to learn more today.
This isn't just any day, it's the day. The day you welcome new people to your team or welcome an idea that changes everything. Wherever your day takes you, Comcast Business can help. With a network that can deliver gig speeds to most businesses, Comcast Business Security Edge to help protect your connected devices, and expert support 24/7. Every day in business is a big day. Comcast Business will keep you ready for what's next. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Check out the latest footwear innovation from Adidas, the Adizero Adios Pro 2, which features carbon fiber energy rods that are both lightweight and precisely tuned for a more anatomical transition. Everything from the ultra-light polyester upper to the re-sculpted midsole and the reinvented outsoles are designed for speed. Visit adidas.com to learn more today.